Thursday the 4th.
Thursday the 4th, Mark. You're quite correct.
Yes.
You're very good at that.
Yeah.
You're even better than Alexa, who was on last time's show.
She was a little confused.
She was indeed, but she's okay now.
Oh, yeah, well trained now by you.
Yeah, absolutely. I got her under control. And I've got some very interesting news about Alexa and one of her commands that we can tell you. But we'll let you in on that a little bit later because you're back from Florida.
Yes, I'm back from Florida.
And you come bringing
beer.
So shall we have them start pulling the pints?
Yeah, let's start so we get the business.
Good man.
Drums in, let's have a party. Pump up the bitter. Test it. Pump up the bitter. Pump up the bitter. Pump up the bitter.
There we go. This is show number 177. Mark and I have got together at John's restaurant here in Winfield, and if we had the bell, we'd go ding ding, but we don't, right?
Ding ding.
I have a somewhat getting over of a little bit of a cold that I had this week, so my head is still a little bit bunged up, but my taste buds seem to be working okay. Which do you have that problem when you get a cold, Mark?
Yes, I do. And it goes to the nose first. The nose goes numb, you know, and then you don't have any aroma sensibility at all.
So. Yeah, I know. Well, I never did to start with, so we're all right there. I don't have to worry about that. I'm not lost on that one. You brought bear. Oh, well, hang on. Before we get into what you have brought bearing gifts, I just want to let the people in on what this is. This is, of course, the Brit and Yankee Pubcast. Sitting next to me is my good chum, Mark Naske, who is a BJCB judge. A somewhat all-around nice guy, and beverage and beer know-it-all, right?
Don't like exaggerate.
There you go. We have good news, because there's another outlet for our show. Not only can you find us on iTunes, which is always good to go out and give us a five-star review, but there's also a radio app called TuneIn. Tune in.
My goodness, that's nice.
Yes, and you can actually, I was talking about Alexa and my Amazon Echo. Tune in is one of the apps that you can give a command to Alexa and tell her to play a radio station or play a podcast. So hopefully by the time you hear this, we will be on Tune In and you can tell Alexa to find us and play our podcast, which would be rather delightful, I think, don't you, Mark?
She was nice to you last time, but a little bit confused, so I think she likes you after all.
I think so.
Yeah.
Right, so if you want to send us an email with any comments or perhaps beer suggestions that you'd like us to try, it's pints@thebritandyankee.com. You can go out to our website, www.britandyankee.com. And that's pretty much it. You can find us on Facebook, of course. We're right. The only Brit and Yankee out there.
Oh, absolutely.
Enough of the admin. Mark, what have you brought? You have come bearing gifts.
Yes, okay. First of all, I would like to say I visited about 5 breweries out there, which were located south and north of West Palm Beach. One as far north as Stewart. And then that was one of those brew your own homebrew kind of things.
Okay.
But they also made beer for themselves. They served it by the pint in the bar. And then I visited a couple of guys, which are called Tequesta Brewing Company.
Tequesta.
Yeah, Tequesta in Palm Beach Gardens, and the other one was, I think, on Jupiter. or actually south of Jupiter, so Tequesta is actually the name of the town, and they work together. I started as one, and now they have two outlets, and I talked to both of the brewmasters in both places, Kenny Sanchir and Fran Andrevich.
And so say that again? What, Bob?
Andrevlevich.
Fran Andrevlevich. Oh, it's a lady. Is it a lady? Is it a lady?
No.
Oh, it's not? That's a man?
Yeah.
Really?
No, actually, I talked to his manager.
Oh, okay.
Manager, yeah.
Okay.
Our manager. Yes, and he was Kenny Sanchir.
Is he Saint Seer? Oh, it's Saint Seer.
Saint Seer.
Well, that's an unusual name.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Unusual or not, the biggest surprise, I say, what I noticed down there, they brew a lot of lagers. They really into lager brewing, and they say, they were telling me how to brew a lager, which I was impressed by. So it was really, they said, you'd have to do the old-fashioned German way, otherwise you don't really get the right flavors and aromas, and something's missing if you don't do it right. So we were shaking hands out there afterwards and agreeing on everything.
And, of course, that actually hit your spot, right?
Yeah,
you're
spot.
A big European traditionalist, aren't you?
And, yes. And then I went also due south, Copper Point Brewing Company, where I talked to the brewer out there, Matthew.
Matt Cox, I think.
Yeah, Matt Cox.
And I knew that because I looked it up, right?
Yeah, Matthew, He showed me his very modern brew house, and we look at the mills and how the mills have evolved since I started the business. And he was very informative, and I think I can use some of the tips he gave me as far as brewing and doing. And he was extremely friendly guy. And then I went to Due South Brewing Company, which is pretty much in the next building from this Copper Point guys.
Okay.
And their beer selection is, or choice of beers is really quite unique. They brew all this coffee, chocolate stouts and melon ales and all those kind of with adjunct. A lot of these adjunct brewing.
Okay. Yeah.
But they have two spotless IPAs, really, and I brought one of those for us today. So it's great. What was number, what it was, grade 3 and grade 5. And the 3 is the regular, the other one, the 5 is the double IPA. I think those are very good. So
you actually in 175, I think, as I lose count. Anyway, the show before last.
So that's 75.
Because we were at Metal Monkey, and we missed you at Metal Monkey, by the way,
sorry.
Last show. We're going to get you down there, don't worry. We're going to go back and see Dan and really have a good old conversation with him about how things are going once he's got going, and then you can talk about the beer.
Yeah, I like that.
But anyway, you also brought a beer from Twisted Trunk, which I think has some sort of association with Tequesta Brewing,
right? they started as one, and then they split up and started a second location and put a new brewery there. The most interesting thing about all that Twisted Trunk breweries, first we didn't know whether we're talking about elephants or trees, but it turned out to be the trees,
okay.
Because that's on the business card. But anyways, it's like in a business park type of place where you look like you have a lawyer's offices and some medical clinics and stuff like that. You go in there and you wonder if it's a wrong address or the right address, but the address number is right, and then you see one of these buildings just looks like a doctor's office or something, and all of a sudden the door at the corner says Twisted Trunk Brewing Company. You go in there, you're like, you have a half a warehouse inside there, you know, and big tanks out there all over the place and people drinking beer. But it's kind of, you can't tell it from the outside. It's disguised very well.
Small in the front and big at the back.
Yes.
I know a few women like that.
Exactly. I know a couple too. And it's all two stories high, you know, and so we get the tanks in there and all that. But it was really interesting place.
So what did you bring? What's our first beer? What are you going to treat me with?
Well, I think we start from the Copper Point itself. By the way, it has to be mentioned right now is that they all use Copper Point Howlers, which is a half growler.
Oh.
And it's hard to tell which one is which, so we had to do some detective work here to figure out what came from where. It's funny, but they all have the same howler. It says has the same name and everything on them.
Well, I'll let you open it up. We've actually been joined by John. Yeah. Hello, John. How are you?
Good evening, Phil.
It is indeed a good evening. Will you be joining us for a quick sampling?
I will.
Okay, good man.
Yeah.
So, you've got this beer. Do you know which one it is?
Yes, this is the Copper Point Wit beer, which I consider very, very tasty. They also make one with melon in it, but... It wasn't bad either, but I think this plain one is really good representation of the style, and I really enjoyed it over there.
And actually, looking it up on their website, it's actually called Copper Point Witness.
Yeah.
And it's 5.2% with 14 IBUs, so that's quite, you know, down there, and obviously for a wit, that's what you want, right?
Yes, that's quite down there.
Now, they do say opening this up, you have to be careful pouring it out, because maybe it's going to overflow. I don't know. We had that trouble with, what was the beer we had recently that was a gusher? I can't remember. But
it went all over the table.
Yeah, that's right. We had one that went all over the table. And I tell him, this
it
one
was Chuck's fault.
There you go, Chuck's fault. Absolutely
right.
Agree with that, John.
Okay.
So this one looks a little bit more cooperative, and it's poured quite nicely. And I think wits typically don't have too much of a head anyway, do they?
Well, they have some, but this one been sitting here, and it's already came out of tap, so it kind of lost some of the zest, I think. But it normally has a medium head at least.
I got immediately, I had the aroma while you were chatting, and I got, you know, that kind of that, what is it, coriander they put in with?
Yeah, coriander, yeah, and orange peel, yeah, basically, those are
and
the
it's,
two.
This is quite a delightful tasting beer, certainly what I would say to style of a wit, what I know about it. Do you know anything about what it is?
What it is?
I mean, what's in it?
Yeah, it is. It's of course. It's half of it is wheat malt, like 50% wheat malt, and that's a Belgian style wheat beer, and I think that's why they call it. And orange peel and coriander is those are those spices that traditionally go into it, like they go into this one, and they don't filter it, and it's kind of once you brew it, you have to drink it relatively quickly, meaning within a month or two, because it's. It's so light and a delicate beer, it will go bad. And especially in Florida, when it's really hot, people really like this kind of light beer. They
I would think
consume
so.
It in quantity.
Mass
yeah,
quantity.
I would think so. You've had a chance to try it, John. What do you reckon? Are you a wit man?
To me, I enjoy a wit beer. And to me, it has all the flavor characteristics it should. It actually seems... quite old world. I mean, it's not really, you know, it's not like a play off a wit like sometimes a lot of American brewers will do. To me, it seems quite traditional. Very drinkable.
Yeah, I know, and I kind of agree with you. I think it is very drinkable. This is kind of a beer that, even though I don't like those spices that they put into things, this takes them well. And when you said orange peel, I mean, that's the world's worst thing that you can put in beer for me. Well, apart from cinnamon, right, as we found out in the other episode.
Well, but you dry the orange peel first, so then it changes the character a little bit.
John has a question.
Aside from the spices, what's really the difference between a Belgian wit and a Weiss beer from Germany?
Okay. Excellent question.
That's an excellent question. Yeah, it's the yeast. Yeast is the main difference. Oh, yeah, they use the Belgian strain, and it doesn't produce the clove and banana and all that kind of stuff that the German yeast does. So it just basically ferments whatever you put into it and give us a little funky character in it, just a little bit. So.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah,
I think the Weiss is more... clovey banana-y, is that?
Yes. And that's
and this is more orange, as it says, kind of a citrusy orange.
And also, now these orange peel and coriander, they've been added to it as such. The yeast doesn't even produce those, okay? So that's the way that's done. And after visiting the Hoegaarden Brewery in Belgium, which
that's one of the famous ones.
Well, the style guidelines are kind of written after that beer. And
yeah.
The difference between this one and theirs is that this is not as effervescent right now because of the handling of it and all that, but the flavor is extremely close. So I have to say about Matthew, thank you very much. I want to thank you for giving us all this stuff here to taste in Chicago. We really appreciate it. And you really have made good traditional European-style beers the way they should be, so we all appreciate that.
So a little bit of information about the brewery for anybody who might be heading down to Boynton Beach,
yeah.
Down there in Florida, which is East Coast.
It's East Coast, a little south of West Palm Beach.
There you
next
go.
To Lantana.
Where?
Lantana is a town right next to it.
Never heard of that. I've heard of Santana.
No, this is Lantana.
Or Atlanta.
Oh, Atlanta. No, yeah, okay. So this guy on his website here, he says he does brew traditional beer styles with bold, intense flavors. Absolutely. He has a 20-barrel DME brewing system. What's DME?
That's just a manufacturer of the
brewery. Oh, right. Okay, good. So you're always going to have a lot of good beers on tap, and... he actually started in 1999, so he's been brewing for quite a while. He was over at Big Bear Brewing Company in 2001. He's won 50-plus awards in court. Now he's got a gold medal at the Great American Beer Festival for his Belgian double.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to try that? Perhaps he's not brewing it.
No, not right now.
And then multiple other medals and other things.
Did
so
you say, Mark, he had
doing
a
real good thing.
Double decoction masher?
No, he didn't do that.
I think it was Twisted Trunk.
There was the other guys. Oh.
Yeah, there you go. Them other guys, right?
So,
so the address for people who want to come down and visit is one. Oh, hang on, I'm trying to find it. It says contact us, and it took us to a map, but the address isn't on there, which is rather bad. They should really check that. Here we go. It's 151 Commerce Road. It's always in a commerce, isn't it? In the industrial area.
It's an industrial park.
And if you want to phone them, it's 561-508-7676. Website is copperpointbrewing.com. Very good start. I like this a lot. I give this a solid 4 as a delightful beer.
I would agree. Like, I even give 4.5. It's really close. It's really close. What I'd like. This brewery is very nice and accommodating when inside. The pictures, if you look at it on the web or something, you see it's very, very cozy.
Cozy
and welcoming. Yeah.
And that's what you like.
Inside.
Yeah.
And they have food trucks there almost all the time. I think there's one food truck parked in a yard permanently.
Really?
More or less. So they have good food there all the time.
So following your standard commercial brewery model, if you will, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I really like the place. Thanks, Matthew.
That's good. Well, we'll take a break, enjoy the rest of our wit, and see if we can be witty on the next on the next beer, eh?
Yeah, we can do that. Everybody's looking for
Mark, we're back, and you've cracked open yet another one of the growlers, which are these nice... the howlers, are they? And they've got the flip tops. They're being flipped off all the time, a la Grosch, right?
Yeah, that's the same kind of...
Do you like the flip top growler as opposed to the screw top? Do you think it holds the beer in better?
Yeah, I think the seal is better, actually.
Is it?
Yeah, I think it seals better than the other one.
Yeah, I mean, and it's also easy to reuse, right? And you can use it for your homebrew, too, right?
And after so many uses, you can take the flip off and you put a new top on this one. So that's what they do,
Oh, wow, that's
It comes off, you know, and you can put it back, you know, a new one.
All right. So, well, now you've cracked open one that was a bit of a mystery to us for a while, because all it said on the tape that was sealing it was lager. And we were wondering if it was to Kester or Twisted Trunk or what. We have narrowed it down, have we not?
Yeah, we have, because the lager came out of... Copper Point is the only one who had the lager.
Okay.
So it must be from them.
And it's actually called Copper Point Lager. Nothing witty about it, that's it.
No. See, talking to the brewmaster... Matthew wasn't quite sure what he made as far as style is concerned. He was talking about maybe it's like an Oktoberfest, but not quite, and maybe it's a Vienna. kind of beer. So it's in that neighborhood, and we really decided that who cares which style it is, but it's a good amber lager of German style.
And having given it a quick sniff here, the aroma is, to me, it reminds me of an Oktoberfest and that style of beer. Now, how does this differ, being a lager, how does this differ from those Oktoberfests? And I guess if you looked at it, because it's very amber, it's a lovely color, by the way.
Right.
A delightful, what I would say, chestnut brown.
Chestnut brown.
Bright, yeah. Bright looking, right?
Yes, yes.
And but how does this differ in terms of it being a lager versus any other brand?
Well, lager, we start off the top, there's beer, then there's ale and lager. So all beers are either ales or lagers, okay? Mm-hmm. And the reason why they call it lager, they couldn't quite decide whether it's Oktoberfest, whether it's Vienna. Personally, I would say that it kind of is more Vienna than anything else, because it kind of has this sweet base flavor goes through the entire tasting when you have it in your mouth. It doesn't have the curve like the... Like Oktoberfest has sweet up front, then dries up at the end. This one is sweet all the way through, but very pleasant, not too sweet.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's definitely got that sweetness to it, but it doesn't override it. I don't know if that's why I'm not keen on amber ales. There's something about amber ales that turn me off. I don't know if they're that sweet, but it's got a finish I don't like. Now, this has a delightful finish.
Yeah.
It's very smooth. He actually describes it as a smooth, everyday session lager, right?
Right.
So that means, I know it's only 5%.
Right.
This has gone up on the IBUs, though. It's a massive 18 as opposed to 14 on the width.
Well, 18 is kind of typical of Vienna style. It would be a typical number if you make a Vienna style. Oktoberfest might have even a little more, like 20 or 22, because they have a little bit more punch. So this is softer. And that's why I think the IBU, if I would make the beer, I'd make just the way he made it. You know,
this is very pleasant drinking. It is. It says in his description that he has flavors of toasted bread, but I'm not getting that. But then again, I've got maybe my my taste buds are a little deprived just now, you know, because of the cold.
God, it does.
Yeah, it does have that. The toastiness. Is very, like, if you toast bread, then you taste really the top layer of that slice of bread. You get these kind of flavors, what is in this beer. I think I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's extraordinarily good, and I would say for its style, which I must admit, I would have a hard time just as the average drinker making a difference between this and an Oktoberfest. Although I do know that having had a few in our past shows, they're a little more nutty in the end, and I would say this is definitely not nutty.
And remember what I said earlier, Oktoberfest, it's pretty malty punch up front, then it dries at the end, and that's the difference. This one doesn't dry at the end, it's sweet all the way through. And that's the difference in the flavor profile.
Right.
Okay.
Well, it is dry, yeah.
Oktoberfest dries at the end. This one doesn't so much.
You're right.
Okay, so I'll educate when we get some more Oktoberfest this year. So.
And one person we haven't had a chance to find out if he liked it, of course, is John.
I'm not overly enamored. It's like okay. It would not be a regular sort of... I'm trying to think if it's like Dos Equis or something like
that. Whoa! Oh, I don't know about that.
No, he's kind of right with that. Because
really?
Yes, because you have to remember where Dos Equis came from. It really came from Austria, where they were making the Vienna lager. And that's why I'm kind of alluding earlier that this is kind of Vienna lager style. And Dos Equis used to be, one point in time, one of those... beers that, if you wanted a commercial example of Vienna, that's what you got.
Really?
So, yeah, John has point there, you know. He's got it identified pretty well. Now, I would say one thing to that, if you don't like it so much and all that, but see, when you think the Floridian weather conditions, they sit outside and sweat it out, so they
hot
drink
sticky.
This.
Oh, yeah, I suppose in warmer weather it might come out a little different.
And ice cold.
I mean, you would want this ice cold.
Yes.
And we don't have it quite ice cold.
I think it would have a little bit different flavor profile. It would not be as strong a finish.
Correct.
So that would be good.
Yes, I'm just nodding my head. Johnny is absolutely 100% on his analysis on this beer. So he's good.
I guess I haven't had Dos Equis Dark, I guess it is, for a while.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be able to compare.
Right.
That's the beer I have when I'm in a Mexican restaurant and they don't have anything else on tap.
Right.
So I guess maybe I'm in the right mode there, but, you know.
They kind of use corn in it and all that stuff.
Give it a shot when you are having it and taste it out.
I will. Now
they'll serve it ice cold.
Now I've had a chance to really taste this one, you know, get that mm-hmm. flavor profile down. I think I will. You know, I was looking up some more information about Copper Point, mm-hmm. and apparently they are brewing and doing local distribution of their brews to quite a few, at least a dozen local bars and restaurants in that area, which is great. So you don't have to be in Boynton Beach.
Boynton.
It's almost like Brighton Beach to me, but you know.
This is a Boynton. There's an N before the T, so.
So I'm going to give this one a 3.5, only by virtue of the fact that I can appreciate it's a good beer, but it wouldn't be something that I would particularly aim for. But I would say that if you like that style with a little easiness on it, you know, it's great.
I think it's fantastic for what it is, and it in Florida conditions, you know, I would drink this. Definitely.
Don't tell me you're going to give it a 4. 4.5?
No, 4.
Okay.
and that's based on saying this is not in particular style, because Matt didn't put it in any style either, so I don't want to force it into any gauge either, saying this style or that style. We appreciate what he says about it, and the beer is really good.
I would agree. He's done a great job. We have another one coming up. Oh, excuse me. We have another one coming up that turned out to be a bit of a mystery beer. Is that a Copper Point, too?
I guess that's what you were telling me.
Oh, okay. So we're a bit of a Copper Point show here today, but we will finish up with something a little different.
Correct.
All right. So we'll take a quick break. Like that one a lot. Let's see if we can bat 1,000. That's what they say, right, isn't it? Bat 1,000.
Yeah.
I don't know. Get 3 in a row. That's a hat trick.
Right.
Highway 90. Jobs are gone, we tend our garden, we set the sun. This is the only place on earth bluebonnets grow. Once a year they come and go, and the old house here by the road.
All right, we're back, and we have to hurry with our last copper. What is it?
Copper Point.
You know, there is a Copper Tail Brewing Company in Tampa,
yes.
Which is on the other coast, right?
Right.
So,
yeah,
but that's not what we're talking about. So, this one is our final Copper Point. So we've kind of focused on them a little bit, but we have to hurry on this one because John has to go bowling.
Oh my!
Do you like
goodness.
Bowling?
No.
No, me neither. Not too much. It's fun if you do it for fun, you know, but
yeah.
If you're in a league, it's a pain in the ass.
Oh,
you have to be there every... Anyway, this one, I think we had a little bit of discussion about what it was because we couldn't find it on their website. However, thanks to beeradvocate.com, we have found it. It is the A10 Hop Hog, and this is described as an amber, American amber / red ale. I'm not quite certain what, you know, why there's that connection, because I thought red ale and everything was good.
Yeah.
You poured it out. It is quite a lovely chestnut color, but it's a lighter brown, I think. Slightly lighter, right?
Yeah, it's lighter than the
Now,
than the
red ales to me are a little bit redder than this, and amber ales are a little bit more ambery, but again, this is very, very clear, isn't it? It looks very inviting again.
Yeah, it is, and he doesn't filter anything. He just gets them settle, you know.
Man, so this is a big surprise.
Yes.
But on the other hand, I should have expected it because of the name, right? Because
yeah.
It's called Hop Hog. So do you happen to know what hops are in here? Because I'm getting tropical notes, so I'm thinking it might be some sort of Citra or Mosaic or something
I
like that.
I do not remember. I have to apologize there. I didn't write them all down, okay?
you were in the brewery quite a while, I know.
Right, I was, yeah. Sorry.
Now, this is very surprising, as I say, with the aroma. John has had a little sip. Yes, John? Yeah. Yes. What do you reckon? Give us your opinion while I'm having a sip.
Lovely aroma. And the flavor is complex. It's the maybe the temperature is a little, you know, it's a little warmer than most Americans would drink beer. So you really get the full flavor. Not astringent, but it's sort of, it's pretty, sort of unique.
I got a very bitter finish.
Yes.
And as I was going through the flavors here, you're absolutely right, John. Complex indeed, I think.
Yeah, it's so complex. There's hint of diacetyl in it also. But I have to now admit that in this particular beer, it's actually adds to the complexity, as John was saying. So actually, it does fit in here. It's not part of normally the profile, but there is a hint of it.
Well, I tell you, I got the amber ale bit of it, which is a slight maltiness.
Yeah.
And then I got the hoppiness, and then right. I got the bitterness. And yeah. There was something else in there. Talk about it whilst I try and figure it out.
Well, what I was saying, there's diacetyl, which is a toffee, butterscotch, sweet kind of character.
Yeah,
it's in the background
yep.
there
okay.
a little bit.
That must be why I like it.
What, he likes toffee?
Yeah, he likes
it. John said that's why he thinks he likes it.
Yeah, he likes diacetyl.
He's a busy guy. He's like, whilst we're here at the bar, he's also serving people as well. So
right, well.
So do you think the diacetyl is intentional? Because I know some people do that to get that flavor.
Well, when I was drinking this at the brewery, I didn't detect it. So maybe it has developed once I kept it. Okay, I apologize to Matthew because I kept it longer than it says it will be fresh. So it's all my fault. So,
so actually, we'll give him that much. We'll say okay, fine.
Yeah,
you know, if it wasn't there,
it wasn't there when
then,
I tasted it at the brewery.
You know, okay. So then,
sure.
What we have here is a very nice aroma.
Right.
6.3%.
Right.
Something that is very interesting. It's not an IPA, as you said. It's American Amber Red Ale.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very interesting beer. This is one that I would be definitely going to try if I'm heading down to Florida.
Once you go to this brewery, you will be overwhelmed with good beer. I need to say that. And the good news is, I think I'm going back in about 3-4 weeks again, and I may bring back something a little different.
Oh, really?
So we will definitely taste more Florida beers sometime in March.
Hey, that's always good. Now, of course, people go down to Florida at this time of the year, and I'm assuming that this is in a fairly frequented spot for those snowbirds and other people who like to get down to the... Is it close to the ocean?
Oh, yeah. It's very close,
okay.
Yeah.
I would imagine so, as it's called Boynton Beach. I never thought of that, didn't
we? Well, you just have to cross Interstate 95, and then the beach is not too far far from there, you know.
So we'll talk... The other beers that he have is things like an espresso cream stout, which is kind of interesting. He has a summer session IPA, a grapefruit saison, something called a Trula saison, which he's describing as a rustic Belgian style farmhouse ale.
Yeah, that's the kind of the saison as it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
And the other one has grapefruit in it. And I have to say that even the grapefruit version, I tasted it, was delicious. Well, once you think of it, saison normally has citrusy characters in it anyway. So the grapefruit is citrus kind of fruit, so it kind of fits in. It just amplifies, I think, the citrusy character in it, but it wasn't in a bad way.
Hey, if it's good enough for Ballast Point, it's good enough for Copper Point.
Yes.
All right, well, I think it's time for us to take another break and come back with our final beer. So let's have a quick break and have a little music, and then we'll jump down due south.
Yeah,
I'm leaving GA. Gonna lay in the hot sun and roll a big fat one and grab my guitar and play.
right.
So now, after we've been at Copper Point Brewery there in Boynton Beach, we're heading to a slightly different area. We're heading to Boynton Beach.
Yeah, like 200 yards down the same road.
There you go. So you can stagger there, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You can
so now,
see it.
This is the Dew South. Dew, and I say Dew, if people don't understand my... It's D-U-E. I guess you'd say Dew South.
Dew South.
Dew South.
Yeah.
Brewing Company. And these guys are, again, located in Boynton Beach, as I said.
Yeah.
Now, you went down to the brewery and found that it was a good tap room, a bad tap room. What do you...
It's very much industrial space. The brewery kind of controls the whole area, and actually, it's in a big warehouse building where they have even they can toss the bags out inside there, and then there's just a bar counter and a few tables that you can sit in and sip the beers. Two things. First of all, they don't have air conditioning there. So
what?
Summertime.
It's Florida.
Summertime. I was there in June last time, and it's steaming hot in there. Okay.
Oh my god.
In summertime, but it's such a big room, you can't really have air conditioning to the entire area. You have to kind of probably build some walls and put some drop ceiling there.
So let me ask you then, as a brewer, I would think that would be absolutely horrendous, because doesn't it get hot when you're brewing?
Yes, it does. Yeah, so I don't know how they do it. It is just... But it's, anyways, in the shade, they call, and they have air flowing through, but it still must be 100 degrees in there in the summertime. It was warm when I was there. It was evening, like 8 or 9 o'clock in June, and it was still kind of really, really hot. And it's like a very basic bar, and these guys have a tendency to make beers that have a little twist in them, like chocolate, coffee, stout, and melon something beer. There's also adjuncts they use.
Not melanoidins, but melon.
No,
like
melon.
Like
the fruit, okay. Yeah. So that they make beers a little bit off the beaten path, I think. But however, since I'm a purist more, they have two excellent beers that I think of, and they two IPAs. One is Category 3 IPA, which is basically the standard IPA, and then the other one is Category 5 IPA that most people call a double IPA or whatever somewhere else. And both of those, I think, are the best beers they make, as far as I'm concerned.
And I'm assuming that it's named Category 3 and 5 because that's a hurricane area, right?
Yes, it very much is hurricane area. Actually, I didn't ask that question, but...
We'll assume that to be the case.
We'll assume,
right?
And then next time I go back in about 4 weeks, I'll ask that question.
So you brought us in a IPA, which is called Category 3.
Yeah, this is...
Now, interesting enough, you brought cans. Do they not do growlers, or is that just
they
something
do, they do growlers, too, but I felt that this kind of... keeps better when it's canned. Okay.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah,
And they don't have their own canning machines, but they use somebody else's facility to get it canned.
So you poured it out. My first impressions in terms of aroma was not particularly over the top hoppy.
No, no.
But actually, rather kind of standard, right?
No, it's standard. It's kind of a little earthy. Kind of
very much so.
kind of hop character. The citrusy character that is often associated with these beers doesn't come through almost at all in this one.
And I would say in the actual drinking of it, that earthiness follows through because it has a very you know what, you've heard me describe beers as raucous. You know, they're not smooth or anything like that. They've got something that's kind of a little bit going on in your mouth, and kind of this is a very straightforward but a surprising end to it, which is very bitter and hoppy.
Yes, and I would say that when now they start making difference, West Coast IPA, East Coast IPAs, and all that kind of stuff, this leans towards East Coast because it has some other caramel malty flavors in it. So it's not that West Coast, what I call hop tea.
Right.
Which I don't like so much.
See now, there we go. That's where we differ, because I love that tropical taste to it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it can't be so much that it reminds me of a bloody fruit salad, all right? I don't want that going on with it. So this reminds me a little bit of Smashes, right? Single malt, single hop. And
right.
according to their website, this is only got those four ingredients. Hops, malt, yeast, and water. Well, hey, who knows? That's the way that beer's made, right?
Well, that's the way to do it.
They do say, yeah, there you go. They do say that they add loads of malt and loads of hops. 6.1 ABV comes in at 50 IBUs only, which to me is surprising because at the end of the flavor, I would say that would be at least 70 or 80 to me. So it's well disguised in my point.
Yeah,
in my
to me it's kind of smooth.
Yeah,
and I agree. And easy drinking. I like drinking this beer. It is the 50 is just right for it.
Oh yeah, no, and I'm not saying it's not easy drinking. It's definitely easy drinking, but I think it has a nice kick at the end of it.
Right? Oh yes, it does.
A flavor kick.
Oh yeah. You're right. Yeah. I agree with you.
John, what do you reckon?
I think it's big up front. To me, you take a sip and you get hit and you get nailed, and that and then it sort of smooths out and it's very drinkable for as far as the finish. But I mean, I think the initial sip is very big. Right, it comes and hits you right in the puss.
It hits you right in the where?
Puss.
In the put. Okay. Oh, in the puss. Okay.
Yeah. You have the imagination.
Those are
I know where your mind's going, Phil.
Those American terms. I just kind of out with it. Yeah. So,
it's
I don't know.
As funny if we the British terms.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm going to see if I can find some information about these guys. In terms of the brewery, it is, Boynton Bees, 15,000 square foot. So, Due South Brewing started as a home brewing hobby on Mike and Jody Halker's back porch and evolved into what it is today with the support of friends, family, and a terrific Due South staff. And actually, if you go out to the website, the whole staff is out there. It's like a who's who of brewery people on there. But anyway, so they seem to have quite a large area, 15,000 square foot. It doesn't quite say how many barrels it is. But interestingly enough, one of their favorites that they always have on tap is their Caramel Cream Ale. And I found that Cream Ale has been kind of one of those brews that not many people are doing these days. I think they should do more of it. It's one of my favorites.
I think so, too. I like that beer because it's one of those easy-drinking session beers.
Yes,
again.
Absolutely.
And that is very good. They make a good one, yeah.
They do indeed, yeah.
I think as far as sizes, Well, if you double in size, you get more beer. Anyways, I think they have 15 barrel system, then they double up in brewing. So they have 30 barrel fermenters, few of those.
Oh, 30 barrel, okay.
But yeah, it's only, they use probably half of the usable space for brewing. There's lots of room to expand if they want inside. And they can do better job as far as making a bar and putting air conditioning in there and all that kind of stuff.
Without air conditioning, bloody hell.
Yeah, but they still kind of young in that regard. So not everything has been done yet.
Yeah.
They're working hard on it, and they have very good distribution because I visited some of the local bars around there, and they had it almost pretty much every bar I went to.
Yeah, right. Well, it doesn't actually say when they started. I couldn't find out that piece of information. But if you're saying they're pretty young, this is pretty good beer for a young beer.
I think it's 3-4 years ago.
This is something. Okay, so I like a nice easy drinking IPA for my everyday beer.
Yeah.
So I'm going to buy things like the New Belgians they've got quite a range of IPAs. Something maybe a Stone Goat IPA. Goose IPA. Something like that. One of the more larger production ones. This would be a very interesting beer to kick it up once or twice a week for a change up.
Yes.
Because it's got a definite different flavor to it.
Yeah, and I bought it and I drank it. Actually, I took it to the house, you know, where I stayed, you know.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
And I drank it there, you know.
Oh, good man. Now, you didn't, while you were down there, have any of the Cigar City Jai-Alai, did you, when you talked?
No. Everybody talks about Cigar City. I was concentrating on these lesser-known entities at this time. And probably next time when I go out there, I bring some of Cigar City stuff down, some of the other breweries, whatever I can find. So,
good man.
There's something to be expected.
I think everybody takes a trip down to Florida once in a while, right? Even if it's a snowbird who goes every year or somebody who goes once every spring break or something like that. So hopefully we've given people a little bit of an idea as to, you know, where to go in that particular area. What's north and south of Boynton Beach? Is it...
If you go south, you're at Delray Beach. And,
okay.
And if you go a little further south, comes Fort Lauderdale, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
And if you go north, it's going to be Lantana, Lake Worth, and then West Palm Beach.
Oh, so there you go. West Palm Beach.
Yeah. And then if you go further north, then it's going to be the Barmbeats Gardens and Jupiter and Stewart. Okay.
Oh, there you go. And you were out around all those places.
Yeah, my friend lives in Stewart, so I was out there. Yeah. Nice retirement community with good beer drinking.
Well, Mark, I'm certainly glad that you brought back a flavor of the sunshine from Florida, which I think in the hop variety is good.
Yes, absolutely.
We've had a good show. We focused not the Illinois beers, but the Florida beers, and that's okay because we have to have a variety once in a while, right?
Right, we do, and as I said, for the future, we'll do more of this stuff.
One thing I have to add in very quickly is because I gave the address for Copper Point, but I didn't give the address for Due South. And Due South is at 2900 High Ridge Road, number 3, I guess, whatever that is, Boynton Beach. And it's 561-463-BEER, which is 2337.
Right.
You have a final note on the IPA?
I got two things to say. First of all, the address, you can't see it from Commercial Drive. You have to, it's behind the warehouse. You have to actually know where you're going. It's
and
in the
knock twice and ask for Al, right?
Right.
The
exactly. It's on the back side, and there's no signs or anything else on the Commercial Drive, so you kind of have to look up where it is. So it's a little bit more. First time you may drive by, and then one thing we haven't really evaluated is we never gave any numbers on this.
Oh,
one,
that's absolutely
Phil?
Right. I would give this a solid 4 because I think, as a different drink, it would hit the spot for me.
Right, and I have to really agree with you because for the purposes of this beer and the way it tastes and all that, I would say give him a 4 also.
And you're not really a big IPA guy, are you?
Well, I mean, I don't drink it so much because it's very popular now, so I tend to go other ways. But when there is a good IPA, I appreciate it, and I appreciate it accordingly. So
you take the road less traveled.
Yes.
Which is why you get freaking lost all the time. Once again, we'll finish off this one with a good night from me.
Good night from him.
And of course,
cheers.
Cheers. I'm trying to get these bloody sample glasses to go clang. It's just going to be a clink.
They don't clank. They go
it's a
clank.
Clink rather than a clang.
Yeah. Can't do that.
By the way, clink is a slang for jail in England.
Yeah, I know.
I've never been in clink. Have you been in clink?
Not in England.
And at which point, we'll leave that. Goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye.
Britain Yankee!
Britain Yankee!
I'll have a pint. No, go, give us a pint. You got any tetanus?
A pint, please, Bob. Give another pint, please, Bob.